Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, and we're changing format a little bit today because we have a very special guest on the phone lines with us this morning. And the Mary Griffith Show, powered by Culligan. Whatever your water problem, Culligan has a system to take care of it. Culligan, better water, pure and simple. And we are joined this morning by the governor of Illinois, Bruce Rauner, who will be in Quincy later today for the last debate of three between himself and his chief Democratic rival, J.B. Pritzker. Good morning, Governor Ryan, or Governor Rauner. Hey, I went back in time there a little bit.
Good morning, Mary. How are you doing today?
You can tell I've been at this game a long time. I'm losing track of my governors. Well, I'm doing fine, and you know, I used to love to argue politics, and I've kind of lost a taste for it, to tell you the truth. I don't know what tough questions to ask you, except what I'd like to do this morning is talk about what you're going to do rather than two people standing in front of each other calling each other criminals, because personally I don't think that advances much. So you've had some criticism in your first year in office. You held the line. A lot of people respect you for the fact that you said, I will not budge, and you didn't budge for 2 years, and then you finally did have to come off that dime. How, if you're reelected, will you move forward to make sure that the goals and objectives you wanted to see happen still happen, or have you become more realistic and think that without compromise, nothing can happen?
Well, the good news is, Mary, that we've gotten important things done in my first term. We got record school funding, and we got more money for smaller school districts and poorer school districts. We reformed Medicaid and took $500 million of fraud out to save taxpayers' money. We got pension reform of $500 million by ending end-of-career spiking. We've grown 210,000 net new jobs when my two governor, Quinn and Blagojevich, only grew 60,000 over 12 years. We've grown 210,000 in my 3.5 years. We've gotten a tax credit for families who adopt in Illinois. We've cut property taxes for disabled veterans. We've cut the fees to start new businesses. We've made major progress, and we have a budget done that's balanced and on time. It took us a couple of years, and they passed a tax hike over my veto because we do not need more taxes in the state. But the good news is we got many things done, and for the first time in our lifetimes, really, with Mike Madigan there since 1971, he's weaker than he's ever been. And for the first time, Democrats are calling for term limits, and they're standing up to the speaker. So I think in my second term, we can get major things done. We can get term limits done. We can get fair maps redistricting reform done. We can get property tax relief by getting the mandates off of our schools and our communities. We can lower the income tax rate by getting pension reform done. And we can even grow our economy much faster by getting regulatory relief for businesses. So I'm very excited for what we can accomplish in the next 4 years.
Now, you did not want the income tax hike. It is part of the budget now, and let's face it, the money is being spent. Without that, Governor, how would you be funding the state of Illinois? Because there were a lot of problems. A year ago, let's say 16 months ago, Quincy Public School System didn't even know if it could operate past October. And this year they don't have those problems hanging over their head. When you close down nursing homes, when you put teachers wondering if they would be better off going across the river to Missouri to teach, when you hold back on mental health programs, programs for the disabled, there's a long-term effect for that. And we're seeing some of that now. So how do you account for that? If you're not going to have a revenue stream to pay for these things, how are you going to keep those programs in place if, as you say, you don't want that income tax hike to stay in place?
Yeah, that's the important question, Mary. The simple fact is that Speaker Madigan had a supermajority of his Chicago-based Democrats in the General Assembly during the budget impasse. They could have passed any budget they wanted at any time with or without my approval. What they wanted to do was not have any reforms, and they wanted to force an income tax hike. That's what Madigan said in 2015. He ultimately got his objective because he's been the most powerful guy strangling our state for 35 years. What we have to understand is there's no way we can tax our way to good government or a better future. It's not possible. What we need to do is reform government and grow the economy faster. And I've put forward reforms, pension reform, healthcare reform, regulatory reforms that would save $6 billion a year, not by cutting programs or cutting health services or education, but by cutting the cost of our bureaucracy, our 7,000 units of government. $6 billion a year, that is more than enough to balance the budgets, fund human services, grow the economy, and get a tax cut as well. That's what other states around us have done. That's what Wisconsin, Indiana, Kentucky, Iowa have all done. Missouri's working on it now. That's the way to a better future. Reform government, cut taxes, grow the economy faster, don't raise taxes. And Mary, the real critical issue is taxes and as well as corruption. We pay a huge corruption tax in the state of Illinois. It's been estimated between $500 million and $1 billion a year just in corruption. And that's why this race has completely been transformed in the last 10 days. What happened last week is a Democrat in Chicago, in the assessor's office, an inspector general, did an investigation of my opponent, and he determined, and this was a Democrat doing it, not a Republican, he determined that Pritzker, my opponent, engaged in a scheme to defraud taxpayers throughout the state of Illinois by fraudulently removing toilets and falsely claiming his mansion was uninhabitable when the toilets were out. And that saved him $330,000 that all the rest of us in Illinois had to make up that difference to fund the schools in Chicago and around the state. He basically stole $330,000 from the people. And he's now got the criminal prosecution unit in Cook County investigating him, and he's very likely to be indicted. And the tragedy for all of us in Illinois is four of my nine predecessors went to prison, and it's stunning. And Mr. Pritzker, if he were, unfortunately, to become governor, he could well be the fifth. We deserve better than that.
Well, let's bring it right back at you. There are some people that say you should be under criminal investigation for the way that the Illinois Veterans Home death situation was handled. And I'm not going to apologize for Mr. Pritzker's toilet bowl scheme or anything like that, but nobody died. You know, why did we wait so long? You know, it's interesting. We wait until somebody dies to go out to Quincy, Illinois, and say, boy, these buildings are really old. We say we love our veterans, but is this really the best we can do? We've got a brand-new shining hospital here in Quincy. That's the finest in medical care possible in the tri-state area. But just 2 miles to the north, an old, dilapidated building for our veterans. So it's not just the water problem out there. That brought it to a head. Why do we wait so long to say, put our money where our mouth is, that we love our veterans? You wouldn't know it by the state of the Illinois Veterans Home in Quincy.
Well, you wouldn't know it by the veterans homes all over the state or the buildings in Springfield. We have underinvested in our infrastructure, and it's a tragedy. Now I am replacing that entire building complex and the entire plumbing there. But Mary, the critical point is there is now a sham, a false, phony investigation of criminal behavior at Quincy that was scammed up within 24 hours after Pritzker was found to have engaged in a scheme to defraud taxpayers. The Democrats in the machine of Lisa Madigan, Mike Madigan, and Pritzker, all of whom fund each other and support each other, they cooked up a phony investigation and said, we're going to say that there was criminal behavior at Quincy and we're going to go investigate it to get you and other members of the media to falsely get all concerned, oh, there's criminal behavior. The reality is there is no evidence, zero evidence of criminal behavior at Quincy. The staff there is wonderful. They've done the best they can in difficult circumstances. And they took immediate action. They didn't wait 6 days to do anything. They immediately, on the very first day, turned off the fountains, shut down the windows, removed aerosols from the faucets so that no droplets could get on the veterans, stopped the use of bathtubs, shut down the ice machines. No one knows still where exactly the infection came from, but immediate action was taken to keep the veterans safe. Immediately they were treated if they became infected, and immediately we notified families of any change in the health status of a veteran, and we also brought in the national experts from the CDC immediately during those first 6 days. So there's a lot of false claims about we did no action, we delayed, we waited. Nobody waited to protect the veterans, treat the veterans, and try to figure out the source of the problem. We took action, and now what we've learned is those facilities, because they're 130 years old and more, they just have to be replaced because there's no way we can remove all the bacteria out of those pipes. So that's what we're doing. We're replacing them so our veterans have the best.
People gave you the nod 4 years ago, said they wanted you to lead our state. You're asking for them to return you to office. What is your best campaign? And I don't want it to be J.B. Pritzker's a crook, so vote for me. Because, see, we get caught, Governor, in this, ugh, I can't stand either of these guys, but I've got to vote for one of them. And I know you probably in your life never thought that you'd have somebody say, ugh, you know, to you. And that's not probably what you're
believe me, I've had way worse than that said to me.
But, you know, there's this kind of malaise, I guess, that has fallen upon the state of Illinois. It's like, can anything happen? And without blaming Mike Madigan for all the problems of the world, and I will say your commercial where the guy says Mike Madigan's been there since Moby Dick was a minnow is just brilliant. That is just genius. But without blaming Mike Madigan, because we have no control over him, but we can put you in office or put Pritzker in office. Why should we pull the lever for you instead of McCann or Pritzker or the other guy that's running? Again, McCann and the other guy don't have much of a chance, but they're at least out there trying to bring some different kinds of solutions. Why should we pull the lever for Rauner in November?
Well, Mary, that is the key question. First of all, there's only one main opponent for me, and that's Pritzker. Madigan has one other candidate in the race. He's hoping to divert votes from me. But any vote for anybody other than me is really a vote for Pritzker and Madigan. And let's be crystal clear, Mary. We have been going down a bad road in Illinois for more than three decades. Deficit spending, higher taxes, more and more corruption and self-dealing, and job losses. We're one of the lowest growing states in America. We can't tax our way out of that problem. Mr. Pritzker wants to raise taxes. Mr. Madigan has said he wants to raise taxes. All that will do is push more families out, more jobs and employers, and cause more deficits. I am fighting for what's right. I'm a volunteer. I don't take a paycheck. I don't have any inheritance, unlike my opponent. My grandparents lived in a double-wide trailer. They were dairy farmers and corn farmers. I made my money working for teachers and police officers, and I did a phenomenal job building businesses for them in their pension funds, made them billions so they could have a better retirement, and we could save taxpayers money. And I'm a volunteer. I don't take any compensation in this job. All I care about is doing right so that we have a better future for our children and our grandchildren. And to do that, we need term limits. We need fare maps. We need property tax relief. We need to roll back the income tax hike. And we need to help our small businesses grow by getting them regulatory relief. I'm the only person in state government fighting for those issues. And what we can't do is give up because it's hard. It is hard. It takes time. But we should never give up. We should never back down. We got to keep working hard so our children have a better future. That's why I'm asking for four more years. We can get this done together and create a better future, make Illinois the greatest state and the greatest nation on earth.
Governor Bruce Rauner, thank you for your time this morning. Thank you for considering the Mary Griffith Show. Safe travels to Quincy. And I personally thought you won the last debate, so we'll see how it goes this time. We'll see how much fireworks there is tonight. Right here in Quincy. We'll all be watching at 7 o'clock tonight on WGEM television to see you and your opponent go at it. The future of Illinois is at stake, and I thank you.
Thanks so much, Mary. You be well. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. 9:27 our time. Yes, we're going to talk about the YMCA in just a moment. We are back, and the regular format resumes. And always glad and always willing to make way for a political candidate. You can listen to the debate tonight between Rauner and Pritzker, 7 o'clock on WGEM television. But right now we're going to talk about the YMCA. You know, I used to love to talk about politics, and I just really don't like to talk about politics too much anymore. But Kristen Lay is here, and she's with the Y, and we're going to talk about all kinds of fun things happening at the Y, including trunk or treat. Yeah, we've got lots to talk about today. For those of you who kind of have some spilkas in your connecticut-a-zoink after listening to politicians, we're going to talk about trunk or treat. So welcome. Glad to have you here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about trunk or treat. This is spooky fun for everyone, they say, and it's coming up on Sunday, October 21st. It's free to the community. You don't have to be a Y member. What happens at trunk or treat?
trick-or-treat is kind of the new trick-or-treating. So as a kid, I lived in the country, and I didn't go in the neighborhood. So when I see kids walking around in Quincy, I'm like, oh, my gosh, what are they doing? Like, what's going on?
You didn't have any neighbors to go knock on the door.
I had to get in the car, and I went to my grandparents' house, and I went to my aunts and uncles' houses. But this is just a really fun way to get kids, you know, trick-or-treating in one spot. So what we're going to do is we have volunteers that are willing to come and park their car, their truck. A lot of them are decorating them. If someone wants to be creative, they're more than welcome to do that. It's pretty cool. We have examples on our Facebook page that if you are a little confused about what you should do. But it's just you open up your trunk, you have candy, and kids get to trick-or-treat all the way down our parking lot. So it is really nice for parents. As a new mom, I'm thinking, how am I going to get my kids in and out of their car seat all the time?
Mm-hmm.
So you go one place and you collect enough candy to hold on hold on until next Halloween, and you can pass that out. But
well, it's nice. It's Sunday afternoon. It's from 4 to 6. The sun will still be up. For the little kids, sometimes it is scary to go out at night. So this will be a nice Sunday afternoon activity. It's absolutely free to the community. And trunk or treat in the Lower West parking lot. Now, do you want people to come and park their cars there and hand out treats? Or will this be something the Y is handing out the treat? How does this work from the trunk part of it? Whose trunk is coming?
We would love to have your trunk if you're willing to give it to us. We do have a few people already signed up. Our after-school program parents have been awesome, and they have already signed up to be creative and to bring their kids out. And then, obviously, the Y will be there, but we would love to have volunteers. All we need is your trunk and some candy. That's all we need. So, and then you get to, you know, enjoy watching the kids go up and down, and we're hoping for a fairly decent day so that they can walk up and down. We have a playground out there, so once you're done going to get all your treats from the trunk, you can go play down there for a while, just kind of make an afternoon of it.
It's at the Lower West parking lot, so bring your kids, park up on the top side and go down to trunk or treat. And if you want to donate candy, I'm sure you can just drop that off at the front desk at the Y. They'd be happy. But if you just want to come and park and put your lawn chairs out and hand out some candy yourself and see the kids in their costume, it's Sunday, October 21st from 4 until 6. Now, I love to go swimming at the Y, and some people actually can do two things at once. I can't, or I'll drown, but you can watch a movie and float around in the Y pool or sit on the side in your lawn chair. It's Flick and Float, and it's a real old movie, Hocus Pocus. This is going to be shown Friday, October 26th at the YMCA pool. If you're not a member of the Y, you're still invited to come. It will cost you $10. That's pretty cheap for a movie and all the fun that goes with splashing around in the pool.
Absolutely. I know with our after-school kids, we are almost to the fact that we're getting cabin fever already. They want to be outside. We take our summer camp kids to the pool all the time. So now this is just an opportunity to let's get your kids in the pool again, you know, because they haven't been in there probably since July, and they've been at school, and it's time to go have some fun. So what we do is we project Hocus Pocus on the wall in our pool. You can bring a raft, just float around. Yes, you can play in the pool while the movie's going on. We're not going to silence you or kick you out if your phone goes off or anything like that at the movie theater. But it's just a fun way of using our pool, getting the kids involved. And like I said, it's October, so they're ready to get back in that pool. You know, swimming is my favorite pastime as a kid, and obviously you don't get to do that in the wintertime, so or the fall. So it's just a fun way just to get kids out, use the family atmosphere. Like you said, it's $5 for a member to bring their family. So your family, if you have six kids, okay, you're going to pay $5 for your family if you're a member. Non-members, $10 a family. You can't go to the movies for that.
You can't.
And the movies doesn't have a pool, so this will be awesome.
And don't forget, this is one of the first movies by Sarah Jessica Parker, Bette Midler, and Kathy Najimy. And boy, those gals are old now, but this is from a long time ago, Hocus Pocus, Friday night, October 26th. We're going to move ahead to Veterans Day, and there's two ways for folks to get involved. The YMCA After School Kids are really taking the be proactive, give back to the community. How did your blood drive go on last Friday when you didn't have school? Did you have a good turnout?
We did have a good turnout. I'm telling you, those kids, the Red Cross came up to me, and they said, "Man, you have some helpers." And I looked at them, and I was like, they're just really excited about today. But no, they are good helpers. But they, we had 18 units, but we had, I think 23 donors, which for a 1 to 4 o'clock, we
Absolutely.
Can't complain about. So, it was really cool to see our after school kids, take part in something, and we can explain it to them why it's important and what we need to do. But we really want to push home that social responsibility for them. A lot of times there's not volunteerism out there for them. So that's where our Veterans Day dinner comes in play, which I believe you were there last time.
I was
time.
Here last year. This year it's going to be Friday, November 9th at Salem Church at 9th and State. They start serving at 4. They wrap up at 7. And, of course, a lot of the older veterans don't want to stay out after dark. So it's pretty much done by 7 o'clock. You do not have to be a veteran. They want the non-veterans to come and make a donation so that we can have a free meal for the veterans. But spaghetti, garlic bread, green beans, dessert, and a drink. And so invite your favorite veteran, invite the widow or widower of a veteran, and come yourself Friday night, November 9th at Salem Church, 9th and State. And it's part of the Veterans Day dinner. And if you'd like to contribute, I know that I just got my market, my things from Aldi and Save-A-Lot and Hy-Vee and County Market, and there's green beans on sale and there's spaghetti noodles on sale. If you also want to stock up on those items and, again, bring them to the Y, they'd be happy to do that because that's what they'll be serving. They think they're going to go through about 10 pounds of spaghetti noodles and about 24 pounds of tomato sauce and tomato paste. And a lot of Parmesan cheese. So come to the Veterans Day dinner. It is November 9th, Friday night, Salem Church, 9th and State, and you'll see the kids. And trust me, your drink glass will never be not full because they are so anxious to serve. And again, that's what it's all about, isn't it, Kristen? It's giving them a chance to really be of service.
Absolutely. We're very excited. We served about 98 veterans last year, which was huge for us because we were not expecting that many. We had plenty of food, but we were so excited to have that turnout. And let me tell you, those kids are eager. So if anyone's looking for a waitress or a waiter, definitely a job interview out there. They are awesome. They constantly, they're picking up. We allow them to help us cook. So I hope that does not scare you away, but they are good cooks and we are right there. But it just gives them a chance to get out and volunteer, and they love to do it, so why not?
It encourages a lot of great things. We're almost out of time, and some of this can wait until next month, but real quickly, the 39th Annual Turkey Run is on Thanksgiving Day at 8 o'clock, and it is not too early to register, because if you register early, you get some extra, you know, guaranteed a T-shirt, et cetera, by November 8th. So, again, I think every year you're trying to top what kind of participation you had last year. So what are we hoping for this year, Kristen?
We want 3,200 people. So our big goal last year was 3,000. I think every one of our members was really tired of hearing 3,000, because that was all that was on our mind. So we have upped our goal because we achieved that goal last year. So we want 3,200 people. We currently, as of today, I checked, we have 87 people. Our goal is 100 by Sunday. So get out there and sign up. The big deadline to remember is November 8th. If you do not register by November 8th, you do not get one of our super cool Turkey Run shirts, which I think is why everyone does it. You know, I have an arsenal of those in my closet. So
and you also save $10. Not only do you get the shirt, but you save $10. So if your whole family's going to run, 4 people for $60 before November 8th. After November 8th, it's $70. So we definitely want you to support the Y, but we also want you to not break the bank either. So let's get 3,200 people registered by November 8th. We'll buy 3,200 T-shirts, and then whoever else shows up, we'll just be happy
Absolutely.
About that.
Absolutely. So I'll be looking for your registration, Mary,
okay.
today. Get
okay.
signed up.
Get signed up. Call the YMCA. Visit them on Facebook. Go to ymca.org. And Kristen Lay, thank you so very much. I give my best to Michelle Terwelp. And we're going to talk about Mount Sterling Airport Day. Yeah, we're going to go from swimming to flying. We will check the music trivia talent of my next guest, Randy Phillips. Can you name
We're waiting for the
step away.
Who is singing this song?
That's kind of out of my wheelhouse there.
It's not Metallica.
No, it's not Aerosmith or Kiss or Cheap Trick. Or...
This would be our birthday boy, Daryl Hall, Hall and Oates. Daryl Hall, 72.
He's got a great show on. Yeah, Live from Daryl's Basement.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's on like Access TV. Yeah, it's got some really
like
cool
Access
stuff.
TV.
Yeah, it's got some really cool stuff on it.
Okay, well, enough of Sarah smiling. I'm always smiling whenever Randy Phillips drops by. He's been to China. He's been everywhere. He loves Halloween. He got married on Halloween, right?
The day before Halloween, but yeah, we had a Halloween wedding, yeah.
And
yeah.
I thought it was a joke.
No,
I got an invitation. I thought, well, I'm not going to go to that Halloween party, but it was actually your wedding. Golly gee. So I kind of screwed up by not going. Did everybody know? Was I the only dummy that didn't know you were really getting married? Was it a surprise?
No. We
I'm too stupid to figure it out.
We won't use that word, but no, it's it, we you know, we dated off and on for 22 years before we decided to go ahead and pull the cord on that. And
thank goodness the parachute did deploy and you landed safely.
Yeah, but you know, it was about 2 months before that we said, you know, okay, let's go ahead and do this. And just kind of threw it together and had it at our house out by Camp Point. We live on a little 18-acre farm out
with
there.
With their very own windmill.
Yeah, and had it out on the deck over the pond, and we said, everybody's, it's not required that you dress up, but it's strongly encouraged that you dress up. I was in a full Gumby outfit. Marcy was in a Bloody Bride outfit, but they couldn't get the makeup on it right and everything, so she just was in a red dress, and all of her bridesmaids were in 1960s Star Trek outfits.
Good.
One of them had Spock ears on, and I was in the big green, you know, foam rubber Gumby outfit.
I'm Gumby, damn it.
And yeah, and all my guys that were standing up with me, if you remember in Monty Python, there was some characters in that that wore shorts and white shirts and suspenders and had handkerchiefs on their head, and they were called Gumbies. And so the joke was, when I got ready to say my vows, I said, I guess we didn't really connect on what we were considering Gumbies today. Kind of a long way to go for a
dueling,
joke, but it worked. You
dueling
know?
Gumbies. Well, that was, how many years have you been married now?
2010.
So this is your 8-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you've been together for like 30 years.
Yeah.
So
off
you're
off and on.
Well, it's not my fault she's stupid enough to go back with you that night. That's her fault.
I got her really drunk one night. You know what you got to do.
But let's talk about Mount Sterling Airport Day, which is this Saturday, October 13th. See, I won't get you in any more trouble.
too late.
There's going to be a lot to see up there. Dot Foods has some aircraft, and they'll have their aircraft on display at the Mount Sterling Airport.
Right.
There will be, of course, a pancake and sausage breakfast, and there'll be free airplane rides for the youngsters ages 8 to 17. And that's being provided by the Experimental Aircraft Association chapter out of Jacksonville. So let's talk a little bit about why have Mount Sterling Airport Day. You kind of resurrected this after it not being around for a while.
Yeah, it had years ago it happened before I was ever involved with Mount Sterling Airport. I have a vintage aircraft that I keep at Mount Sterling. A friend of mine is the airport manager there, in fact, and he flies for DOT. And I'm currently kind of working on the side as a co-pilot for DOT in some instances too. But Mount Sterling Airport Day hadn't happened for quite a few years, and somebody brought it up. Hey, we ought to try this again. Oh, okay, yeah, let's give it a shot. And last year we had it, and gosh, the Jacksonville folks came over, and we gave free rides to kids through the Young Eagles program through the EAA, and did that, and the fire department was there, had pancakes and sausage in the hangar, and we had the hangar open so they could see the jet that was in there and a couple other planes around. A couple of the Life Flight helicopters came in. One gentleman with a helicopter from Springfield area came over and flew some kids. And it turned out way better than we ever thought it was going to. It was a nice day, and it was, you know, it turned out with a good turnout of people and everything like that. I just here just recently had one lady I ran into, and she said, oh, my kids are still talking about last year when you gave them a ride in your airplane. That was so wonderful, blah, blah, blah. You know, it was just,
oh, that
it's
is
a really
pretty wonderful, and that's a wonderful thing that you do. So you and other volunteer pilots agree that you pay for the fuel, you loan out your airplane. A certified pilot, obviously, is taking
yeah.
the kids.
Here, kids, have a plane. Go
have
up. Fun. Yeah.
Go up and see if you come back. But no, what a thrill. And a lot of them can probably maybe see their house, or they can yeah. see where Mount Sterling is. And if they look up on the horizon enough, they might be able to see Jacksonville or Quincy or whatever.
Right, yeah. The EAA has a program that's been in place for quite a few years now called the Young Eagles Program. And if you're a member of EAA, what you do is you donate your time and your airplane to give hopefully the very first experience to a kid in an airplane. 8 to 17 is the age group that we fly. And it's a totally volunteer effort. We don't get any compensation for it or anything like that. It's just trying to introduce the younger folks to aviation and the fun it can be. And it's always neat to see, you know, that look on their face, because maybe they've been up in a big giant jet or something like that, going on vacation or something, but to be in a small plane and being that, you know, 1,500 feet above the ground or so, and flying over their hometown and going, look, I can see my house, oh my gosh, you know, and when they get back, it's something really kind of neat to be involved with. And the Young Eagles program worldwide has I think now flown over 2 million kids.
Well, that is great. So that's one thing to do. If you want to take the kids and grandkids up to Mount Sterling, their airport is small but mighty, and Dot Foods has its aircraft on display up there. The pancake and sausage breakfast will be served from 7 to 11, and that benefits the Brown County Fire Department, so that's a great thing. People will be flying in from throughout the area. That's what pilots do. They come for these breakfasts, and you don't know where they might come from. I mean, they'll come from all over the tri-state area. Maybe some will even farther.
There's several Facebook pages that are geared specifically toward aviation in the central U.S. or Midwest flyers or Central Illinois aviators or things like that.
You get to see all these cool aircraft, because a lot of them, the Experimental Aircraft Association, it doesn't mean that the plane is not safe. It still has to pass all the inspections. But Randy, you started building a plane.
Yeah, experimental refers to the fact that it wasn't built in a factory. Like a Cessna or a Piper or something like that, those aircraft are built in a factory. The companies that make them go through an extremely extensive testing program, and the FAA comes in and sees their manufacturing methods and everything and says, okay, it's okay for you to build a plane and send it out. When you send it out, it's ready to go. It's certified and it's okay to fly. Because your manufacturing methods are of such that it's okay to do. Experimental aircraft refers to the fact that perhaps it was a kit plane that was purchased from a company and the owner built the plane themselves. But even after they build it, then an FAA inspector has to come and go over it from the tip of the nose to the tip of the tail. And if they find any single nut, bolt, screw, cotter pin, anything not correct, it has to be fixed and made correct before that airplane is allowed to fly.
I just was watching a special about Jeff Dunham, the guy with the ventriloquist doll.
Yeah, yeah.
He builds helicopters.
Yeah.
He builds helicopters and loves to fly helicopters and has been doing that since he was a teenager. So in addition to, he had two kind of schools of thought there, what he wanted to be when he grew up, helicopter pilot / ventriloquist dummy guy.
The ventriloquist thing kind of supported his helicopter habit.
His helicopter habit, because as Randy will tell you, an aviation habit is a wonderful habit, but it's a very costly habit.
It can be a very costly habit. It doesn't mean that specifically just because you're in aviation, it's going to cost you a lot of money. It's how far you want to take it, how far you want to go with it. So,
right.
Yeah.
So, folks, if you don't own your own airplane, but if you'd like to give your children a chance to fly for their first time ever in an airplane, free airplane rides for kids ages 8 to 17 are open from 9 to 1 this Saturday at Mount Sterling Airport. Pancake and sausage breakfast goes from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., and I suggest you do what I always do. Go to these things early, just sit there, have your breakfast, linger on your coffee, and watch the different planes come in, take off and landing.
Right.
How do you get to Mount Sterling Airport from, you know, the nearest, like, Highway 24 or whatever?
Well, if you're going on Highway 24 toward Mount Sterling, before you get to Mount Sterling, you'll go past, like, for instance, Timewell Tile that has all those big giant rolls of black drainage pipe out there. After you get past that, start looking on your right hand side. You'll see the airport as you go by it, and then there's the sign there that says Robert F. Tracy Municipal Airport, and you turn down that road and you're right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pancake and sausage breakfast, is there a cost to that free will offering? There's a cost.
I believe
nominal
it's, I believe
fee.
It's $6 I think,
okay.
for pancakes and stuff.
And then, of course, the airplane rides are free. And, of course, just looking around. Don't ever touch unless you ask the pilot if you can. Right. But they love for you to look.
Yeah.
Look,
and the
look.
Airplane rides are from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Okay. And the Jacksonville EAA chapter. And maybe, Randy, are you doing
oh,
it
yeah,
this year?
I'll be there. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so
absolutely.
You can go up with Randy.
Yeah.
He's not scary, I promise. And I love all this. Give me
unless you see me in my Gumby outfit, then.
Give me your call sign, like you're coming in to make a landing, and you're seeing if the landing strip in front of WTAD radio is A-OK to land on.
Well, if I were coming into the Quincy Airport, for instance, there's an area about 5 miles in circumference around the airport, and when I get into that area, everybody's on the same frequency. So I would come in and I would say, Quincy area traffic, Stinson 97015 is 5 miles west, inbound landing Quincy.
And I'd say, okay.
And any other airplanes that are be on the same frequency, if they're going to hear me, and then they're going to say, I'm over here, here's what I'm doing, I'm going to be passing through the area, or I'm landing on this runway right now, or I'm taking off, or whatever, things
and
like
so
that.
And so give your little call sign for your...
It's a Stinson aircraft. It's a Stinson 108-1, and the tail number is 97015. So it's Stinson 97015.
Stinson 97015.
And the reason we say niner, everybody always asks that. If you're on a radio, 9 and 5 kind of sound alike, so you differentiate that by saying niner.
Okay.
And it sounds pretty cool too.
It does sound cool. Thank you very much, Randy Phillips.
Thanks.